Hey everybody, welcome to Hard Reboot. I'm Jake.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Alan.
And today we are doing one of my very faves that I have. It's a book that I've never read, but I love the story. It's 100 chapters and it's like so old. It's very, very old. We're doing Journey to the West, which is one of, I think, the four, like, I don't know, exalted books of in Chinese tradition. Like there are like four major great classics, and this is like one of them. It's really good. There's a good movie called Journey to the West. I forget the subtitle. It's got something with demons in it. Directed by Stephen Chow. It rules. Everyone should check it out. Yeah. So where do we go? Do I do the thing? Or do we do a little bit of history first? Let's do some research. Someone hit me with something.
So the publication date, or at least the first time it was ever put in print, was in 1592. And the authorship is often given to, and in advance, please, I apologize for butchering these names.
Yeah, same. That's a blanket statement on the podcast.
Yeah. Wu Qingyan. In the 16th century, however, that has been kind of disputed, but more or less his name has kind of become inexorably linked to Journey to the West.
It's one of these things that, like, there's good odds that this whole publication date is, like, whenever it showed up in Western printing and, like, actual printing presses.
Whenever some white dude went to China and found a book and went, I bet today's when this was printed, like, yeah. Literally when I landed here.
Mm-hmm. Because white people were awful.
I think that's well established. You just need to look out your window and you can figure that out.
It can be split typically into four unequal parts. Each of the parts has a different protagonist, and there are, you know, four protagonists.
Well, yes and no. There's five. There's one main protagonist, and then there are four sub protagonists. The unequal parts are my favorite thing that I read. The first is chapters 1 through 7 are about Sun Wukong, monkey, who it's like his birth and like how he was like he came from like a stone and they like I don't know. There's a lot. There's also, speaking of movies, there's a movie called The Monkey King starring Donnie Yen as monkey about like it's the first bit of this. Also a kick-ass movie. Also one of those movies where you watch and you go, man, China is just making movies on a different level than we are, because instead of like CG-ing people into monkeys, they are all wearing suits that are like monkey suits, and they all look very strange, but in a way that is like, oh, I know I'm watching something great right now.
And for some people, when we start getting into the story, though, they may go, oh, well, I kind of recognize this, but, you know, like, I don't know where it comes from. If any of you have watched Dragon Ball Z, Son Goku is loosely
literally
based.
Monkey.
It's
He's
monkey.
Literally Sun Wukong.
The extending staff, the flying cloud. I mean, it goes on. But you'll notice
shit.
That a lot of that was ripped directly from Journey to the West.
Yeah, Dragon Ball, the original Dragon Ball, not Z as much. Original Dragon Ball is literally Toriyama adapting Journey to the West with his own flavor slapped on top of it. Plus an angry little alien boy who gets very mad at things.
Well, I did not know that. I just did the first part. The second part is 13 through 22. So again, 100 chapters, four parts. We're on chapter 22. We're not even quarter way through the total. And that's the end of part two. And that's mostly about, Tang Sangzang, Sang Zong, I think.
Sangzang, yeah.
Sorry about our dumb tongues. Yes. It's about it. He's and I don't. I think it's Guanyin, which is a. I don't know how to explain it. Is he a Buddha? Which is like a god. I am very uncultured, and I apologize. Yeah. So Guanyin is like sort of this god figure. I don't know exactly how all of their mythology works because it's very different from ours and anything that I have studied or looked into. So you know, again, apologies to that. And along the way of these first. The 13 through 22, he meets the next his four disciples. One of them is Monkey. There is a pig who is Zhu Baji, whose name is translated to Pigsy sometimes, which Pigsy. Is very cute. There is Sha Wu Jing, who is Friar Sand or Sandy, who is a river ogre. And then there is Yulong, who is the third son of the Dragon King of the West Sea. So that's pretty neat.
As you do.
And then after that, chapters 23 through 87 or through 99, I think, actually, are the story. It's like these little basically episodes of like here's like four chapters on them doing a thing. Like one of them is like there's like these like a land of all women. Like the entire country is just women. There's one where there's like here's two spider seductresses. There's a whole bunch of shit. But yeah, it's there's a lot to it. Maybe that's 23 through 86. And I guess 87 on is like kind of the end. It's still part of that big third part. And then the last part is chapter 100, which is then being like, we got to go back real quick right now. We're just going to go back to the east, to the Tang Empire, and then just like deliver the thing we were trying to do. That's it. Like, they're like, oh, right, we got to end the book now. We've done 100 chapters.
All right. So you told us last time what the genre is.
Yeah, I mean, I said a couple of words that maybe we can anamorph into a genre, but
you did just say a heap of things that altogether look like a genre for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that it would be a Netflix category if there was enough of them. You know,
it's and true.
I don't know if I would call that a genre so much as a loose grouping, but yeah. So retro urban fantasy? Is that
retro
what I,
urban fantasy?
Is that what I said? That's stupid, Jake.
I mean, it's not bad though when we consider retro being 80s and urban fantasy being Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a lot of what the aesthetics, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. I think because there are 100 chapters of this, I think the medium needs to be prestige television.
Could you define that?
Yeah, tell me what you mean by prestige television.
You know, like your Game of Thrones, like your Westworlds, or your everything on AMC is like considered prestige television. It's basically like a 10 to 12 episode season that is like very tight and like good continuity and all. Like it's like a good story. It's not so much like, hey, here's 8 filler episodes because we just kind of need to get to episode 17 so we can finish the season out.
So just to make sure, so this is basically not something that can go into syndication, very episodic.
I mean, everything can go into syndication once it hits episode 100.
But I guess what I mean is like, it's not one of those shows that you could watch in the middle and go, okay, I'm with you. Like, yeah. You kind of have to watch it from the start to get it.
Yeah, it's not like Friends, where you're like, right, let me just jump in and see what the Friends are up to. Oh, it's boring. Who cares? Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm on episode 12. Shit. I don't know any of these people, and they seem to be really doing something pretty important right now.
Okay. I think we can work with that. That sounds fine.
Yeah, because there's, like, again, there's, like 30-something different 4-chapter episodes of them journeying through. Also the journey to the west is they are trying to bring like the scrolls of Buddha to a bunch of, like, basically the nation and the world at large has become greedy and terrible, and so it's basically like a quest of enlightenment, but like through good deeds. Mm-hmm. and stuff,
because he's, I think, Sanzang, if I'm reading this correctly, is supposed to go through 81 tribulations before he can achieve Buddhahood.
Yeah, he's a monk. He starts off as like, at least in the movie. Again, the movie is really, really good. I cannot hype this movie up enough. Shuki is in it. She's amazing. It's he starts off as like this like sort of amateur monster hunter. Like, he's just like going, he goes to places and he is like, he follows like the, you know, the path of that Buddha has laid out before him, but he's like just kind of a dude. And then he's like, all right, I need to get serious about this. And then, like, you know, a bunch of bad stuff happens and the woman that he falls in love with dies. And that's Shuki's character, who's like a thief queen. She has like a band of thieves. there's a lot going on, at least in the movie, and I don't know how much of it is directly from the original story. But so what I'm thinking for urban retro urban fantasy is set in the 90s, set in the early 90s, not the 80s, because I'm really, really sick of the 80s. I'm super over them.
That's fair.
Ready Player One was pretty much the final nail in that coffin. And the only thing from the 80s I want to see ever again is Glow. because Glow fucking rules. I don't know if you're aware.
Actually, I'm not, but.
Oh, it's so good. Anyway, before I start talking about how good Glow is. So set in like the 90s, and I was thinking it being kind of a cross between like the Warriors and Big Trouble in Little China. And it has that kind of like grainy, gritty, kind of blown out look to it. And like it's the same story, the same setup, but they need to get from wherever to like a different city. And like it's just across America instead of, you know, all of Asia, like the original story is.
I think we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know where to jump off, because there's a lot.
There is a lot. Let's start at the beginning. The inciting incident, the thing that sets the hero upon the journey. How is that translated into what you're wanting to do? So why does the character feel like... are we staying with bringing enlightenment, or are we wanting to like...
I mean, I think it needs to be a little bit modernized. I don't know how you would like sell bringing enlightenment in you know, 1990s America. I don't know what like coat of paint you can put on that.
Maybe a new piece of technology?
That's not quite the right feel, because this is urban fantasy, so it's supposed to be magic, right?
Yeah, it's more like magic. And the other thing about like making it like urban fantasy in America is you can take these like Chinese legends and all like the stuff that he went through and also see like what that looks like, you know, over here.
Okay, so why don't we go with a tried and true thing? Toss this out as a possibility. Dying parent tells him to go take this thing to a place on the West Coast.
He's in New York, and he has to get to San Francisco,
LA, or San Francisco, or LA. Yeah.
Maybe even it's a spell book.
Yeah, or a scroll, or...
Yeah, it'll probably be like a book of something, because if we're following the... Because I think the thing he is taking with him is actually scrolls, like just like the like lists of good things you should do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and like I think that's probably a good way to start. And then we quickly meet the other four disciples. Because they start, at least Pigsy, from the movie starts off as like a pretty horrible dude. because he's like super greedy. They're all like cast out from heaven for whatever reason, for like one reason or another. And he's basically trying to bring them back to enlightenment, and back on like the path for that. The other thing I'm thinking of that like this kind of reminds me of is like a Scion campaign.
Okay. You know?
I can see that.
Like kind of how that is like, here's the Norse story or the Greek story or the Loa story or whatever, but like modern America and like how that applies, a Percy Jacksonification of this, but not the movie, because that was bad.
Mm-hmm. The second one was hard. Yeah, it tried hard,
but I mean,
a lot of ground to make up.
Chris Columbus can only do
Didn't
so much.
Didn't it have Pierce Brosnan as a centaur?
In the first one, at least. I don't know if he was in the second. I haven't seen the second one.
I don't remember if he came back. It's been a while. But
he was definitely in that first one as a centaur.
I just remember Pierce Brosnan as a centaur. I don't think I've ever actually seen the movie, but I know that much.
It's perfectly fine.
It is.
It didn't become the next Harry Potter like they wanted.
Yeah. It could have been if they had done... Anyway. Anyway, that's one of those things that is a surprising topic that I'll get going on.
Did not mean to pick a scab. I'm sorry, Matt.
So what about this? Let's give them – we have New York, and we don't use San Francisco enough in our modern storytelling. So San Francisco is the destination.
Okay.
Get from one to the other. Why don't we just pick four cities roughly more or less in between and have that be where he meets the four people. So the journey is like in and around those cities.
One of them has to be Chicago, doesn't it?
I mean,
kind of. Yeah.
Chicago, St. Louis.
I was thinking we should know, because if we're starting in New York, we're up in that West Coast. We're not going up to my homeland of New England, so that's a little sad, but that's fine. They can't be enlightened anyway. Love you, New England, but
I was about to make that joke about the South. So,
yeah. Well, see, that's the South is the perfect place to try to start, right? Like, I think.
That'd be cool, like New Orleans.
I think
if we did like, something in the South,
do like a whole like you know sweep, because like again, if we're going for a long form television story, like I want to do 100 episodes, so it hits because there's 100 chapters, and we don't need to do like a perfect one for one because that would be very boring up front and very like drawn out in the middle. But I want to do like 100, so we're looking at you know. 8 or 9 seasons, depending on how many episodes per season, maybe 10, which is like a long time. But I think that's, you know, you cast, you know, young 20 somethings and you got some longevity out of them.
Yeah.
But I want to hit like the whole country. Like I want to go everywhere in.
Okay.
Well, in America that we can.
So just kind of
let's
go.
Modify this. Let's modify the quest. Our hero gets one scroll and then instructions that, hey, here's a clue to where the next one is.
Yeah, the first one's like, go to New Jersey. Yeah. And the second one's like, all right, cool. Now you made go to Baltimore. And it's like, all right, shit, we got to go to Baltimore. And then it's like, all right, you're very close. You got to go to Chicago. Okay, and then you go to Chicago. And it's like, oh, real quick, go down to Jacksonville. All right, cool. And then it just like keeps doing that. And by like the third or fourth time, it's like, oh, I see. I know what's up.
Go to Keene, New Hampshire for no reason.
Yeah, just jump back up to Keene. It's a nice place.
Do y'all remember the computer game Commander Keene?
Yes.
Did he have a backwards hat on?
Anytime that word comes up, that's what I think of. I'm sorry, that was very like off topic, but yes.
I know of Commander Keene, but in my head, I think I know what it is, but I've never actually seen it, I don't think.
You would probably know it if you saw it. It was of its time. So the idea, if he's going through all these cities, whoever keeps the scroll, once he actually finds them, is like, cool, I don't trust you. Go prove yourself.
Yeah, or it's like you have to get the scroll back from this bad thing.
Yeah.
And then there's the story for the next 2 or 3 episodes.
Even because it requires 81 tribulations to achieve Buddhahood, what if he has to go through tribulations in order to unlock the book or the scroll or what have you.
I mean, that's probably what it becomes. Like at the end, it's like, look back on all the things you did, but
yeah, I don't think that's very video gamey. If it was like, there's a counter and you have to do them and like it unlocks a thing once you finish them. I think it works a lot better as like, hey, did you notice how we did 81 things? Like just, you know, that's on the TV Tropes page, not the, you know, not in the story.
Unless it's like at the very end of the story, or unless you pivot hard and change a little bit of your genre and decide to go like that Scott Pilgrim versus the World kind of aesthetic.
No, I don't. I really want to stick to like, what if Big Trouble in Little China was a show?
Okay.
Like,
oh, our protagonist is an idiot, isn't he?
I mean, he's definitely kind of an idiot at the start. It's not until he hits those 81 things and achieves enlightenment that he like, it's like, oh, okay, now I get it. Before then, he's like, I'm doing my best, and I don't know if I'm doing well or not.
Okay. All right, so he's bouncing probably exactly like Alan said, just literally up and down the continent. That also allows us to go down to, like, Mexico City and up to, like,
I was
Vancouver.
About to say, or even up to Quebec.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the major thing is once we hit, like, 3/4 of the way through the country, like there has to be like a more definite path, you know,
yeah.
But like until we get to that like line of like, you know, California, Oregon, like maybe one state over. I'm terrible at geography, so I couldn't tell you what those are except for Arizona, Nevada, maybe instead of Arizona. I don't know.
Oh,
they
man.
Could go to Reno.
Dude, Las Vegas is right
If you're going to Nevada, you go to Las Vegas, Al.
Well, no, I like the idea that it's the smallest big city.
I think go to both. We got 100 episodes to play with. They're going to be in the area.
I mean, they're going to go to Dallas and Austin.
I just always feel like Las Vegas is overplayed. So
I mean, yeah, but there's a reason for it.
Yeah, it is, but it's because it's literally the cultural center of America.
It's Sonic's Casino Zone, but a real place.
I wouldn't call Las Vegas the cultural center of America.
It is America distilled.
It is. It's all the worst parts of America.
It is America the ride. It is literally America the ride.
There's an Eiffel Tower and a Statue of Liberty right next to each other.
And a Sphinx.
And a
Sphinx. And nothing says America like, look at these landmarks that we appropriated.
I mean, you're not wrong.
The Statue of Liberty was a gift, but...
I mean, but yeah.
Other than that, I agree.
Yeah, there's the one cool thing from us, and the rest of it's like, that's cool. Let's take that. I think instead of like Austin, or maybe, I mean, yeah, a whole season can be Texas. Texas is a large place.
It's fucking huge.
But I definitely want to go to El Paso and do the fucking luchador story, it is.
Yes.
You know, like.
And the Alamo should play in somehow.
I mean, San Antonio's fun.
Yeah.
If you want to do luchadors, though, I know, come down to Mexico City.
The problem is, though, when I think of a luchador, when I think of a Mexican professional wrestler, I think of the Guerrero family, the greatest family of wrestlers in the history of mankind, and they're from El Paso.
I can't argue with you there. It's just I know that some friends of mine got to go to Mexico City this last year, and they got to see actual luchador wrestling there.
Yeah, Lucha Libre, in the shit. I wanted that so bad. Yeah, I mean, Mexico City probably makes more sense for that.
One of the villains, one of their heel characters, was literally just the American, and he had like a Trump Rocks shirt and wore an American flag like a cape.
Were any Ninja Turtles there?
They did not mention, but probably.
You should ask. There's always Ninja Turtles at indie Lucha Libre shows. there was a show where two different sets of Luchador Ninja Turtles fought each other.
That's the best. I love that.
It's so weird.
That's for you, Sky.
I just kind of had a thought, but talking about going all over the country, I think it would be interesting if not necessarily in Alabama, but probably in Alabama or Mississippi, like they go to a Civil War reenactment and they talk like, and they kind of are like, well, you realize this is the wrong side, like morally.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. You know,
I feel like,
because believe it or not, that's still a big deal. Like the reenactments and things like that. That's still a big deal down here.
Yeah, no, obviously it's there's a reason they don't like taking down their flags, but I don't know if that necessarily fits the tone. Like, I don't think it should be like a real thing there, unless it's like there's a Civil War reenactment going on while there is a weird thing going on that they need to solve.
What if it's a Civil War reenactment of ghosts?
I mean,
that is much better than like they're like, if there is like a straight up battle being replayed between
by
the souls
ghosts
of the people who lost, who died there
forever.
Like,
that's pretty great.
Yeah. And like, maybe it's a thing where like less Northerners died there, so their ghost troops are fewer, so they are losing the Civil War, like the second battle. So like, that's where our people come in.
Okay. Let's talk about our people. Because we have five people we got to cast and figure out when and how they meet. Or maybe not cast. Describe.
Well, here's the thing. So last time, at the end of last episode, I said, hey, we're three white guys. Sorry.
We are absolutely
that we are talking about a Chinese
guys.
Epic that has nothing to do with us.
Yes.
I saw a movie that I really liked. That's it. Okay. And I love Monkey. No matter where he shows up, except for Dragon Ball, because anime's for nerds. I love him. He was in there's a video game called Kung Fu Chaos where you could play as Monkey, and I played as him every time because he was the greatest. So I think the only white person in our main cast should be the pig.
Yeah.
Because he is always trying to shirk his duties. He a pig. his name is Pigsy sometimes. The reason he was like the commander of Heaven's naval forces, right? Why does Heaven have seaborne forces? I don't know. But he was thrown
to
out
fight
because,
on the Celestial Sea, of course.
Well, sure. So he was thrown out for flirting with a moon goddess, Chang'e, and he's like a good fighter. He's like got a lot, he has some good qualities, but he's also terribly greedy and horny. And I think that's the only white dude we need on the team.
And he totes has frosted tips.
I mean, I don't think this is late enough. Frosted tips are decidedly
millennium
early 2000s.
Things.
Yeah. So I think maybe a mullet.
Oh.
I think maybe he's got a mullet.
Yeah.
like a choice mullet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate everything you're saying. So
he wears jorts unapologetically.
But they're a little too short. You can see the pockets peeking out.
Oh, can we go back in time and cast young John Cena in this role, please?
No, we have to cast regular, like, current day people. We can't do any time travel.
Regular
on this
current day John Cena. Got it.
No,
he's
John
far
Cena
too
is
old.
Is too old and too fit and too much of a. I mean, he could play an asshole. He's done it before and he's very good at it. He's a really good actor, surprisingly. But
well, I would think that most wrestlers would be.
You would think that. You'd be pretty wrong.
Yeah.
There's
an ideal, and then there's a lot of failure to arrive at it.
There's an art to it. Some people are just tall men, and they can't really talk or convey anything. And then sometimes people are really good actors and garbage at wrestling. You know, then you got your Dave Bautistas and your John Cenas and your The Rocks that can do both. But anyway, where was I? So we got him. There's Mookie. I think the main character needs to be Chinese. Needs to be a Chinese American. I think that's kind of obvious. You can't like walk away from that. I'm trying to think of.
Can we get the two Power Rangers brothers for some of the side characters, Yoshi and Peter?
We could just cast Yoshi Zdarsu as the main character.
I wasn't 100% sure what his nationality.
I think they are
ancestry. I don't.
I think they're.
I'm putting the foot in the mouth.
Filipino, maybe instead. Yeah, I don't know. If anything, they can be in this show. That would be rad as hell.
Yeah, like can at least then Yoshi just be monkey?
Probably. I don't see why not.
Because apparently we're not giving him Nightwing, and I want him to just have all the good roles.
Fuck Batman.
Fuck Batman.
Hey guys. Fuck Batman.
I hate that movie.
My favorite part about that is that at the end it's like trailer. On DC's streaming service and no one's going to get. So, yep.
Did y'all see apparently Tara Strong tweeted out that if Teen Titans Go does well in theaters, the OG Teen Titans will get a season 6?
Did you not see the thing at the end of Teen Titans Go, the movie?
I didn't go see Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, neither did I, but there's a thing at the end floating around the internet. You should check it out. It's pretty good.
Cool.
Not right now, but you know, definitely a thing to look up later. So Sun Wukong or Monkey, his name loosely means awakened to emptiness. That's very sad.
Yeah, I mean it fits with who and what he is though.
Yeah, apparently there is a golden ring that Guan Yin placed around his head, which causes him unbearable headaches. When Tang chants the ring tightening mantra. So it's like he's kind of a bad guy for the bulk of it, but just like begrudgingly on their side because of this thing. And I kind of like that, but I think I don't know. I definitely want him to be like the Lancer of our five man band. That's like kind of always at odds with everybody, but I still want him to be like a better dude. You don't want to be like he's like an anti-hero.
I was about
like,
to say maybe he's just like jaded.
Yeah, like whatever happened that made him go. He's like not super happy about going on this, but he is like compelled to for whatever reason by some outside force.
Also, can I like? I really want to keep. One very, very, very specific detail of Sun Wukong, because I think it's the coolest thing ever.
Is it a real Sun Wukong or is it a Dragon Ball Sun Wukong?
No, it's a real Sun Wukong.
Okay.
So his weapon, the Iron Rod, thank you. He wears it as an earring. Like he keeps it as a needle in his ear and then he pulls it out when he needs to.
Yeah, because it can extend to however that rules.
I love that imagery. Of him just like reaching to his ear, pulling it out, and then it growing, and him like twirling it. I think that would be really cool.
That's a good place to do some like use that as the groundwork for the show to establish like the visual language of it, where everyone gets some kind of weapon that does something weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want this to feel like how Iron Fist should have felt like, and that every episode is a 45-minute Shaw Brothers movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like every single episode should be like a balls out awesome as hell kung fu movie, but that also has like a 3-act structure and fits within TV time constraints and like is built to be episodic rather than here's the whole movie. Those kicks were pretty rad, right?
And part of the fun of this, because of the medium you chose, that Shaw movie can be split up over 3 or 4 episodes.
Right, yeah, because you can on your, you know, in your TV shows that are more serialized, that like everyone comes in accepting that, like this is appointment television, I need to come watch this. Mm-hmm. Like you have a lot more leeway to be like, hey, the story didn't end in this one, and it didn't say to be continued, because you should just know that like we're gonna keep doing the story.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think actually weirdly the second season of Luke Cage did a really good job of that exact thing. Or it's just like
I have not seen it.
It's weird, but it did that part very well.
Okay. I think a good example that I am familiar with is Westworld, like how Westworld is doing right now.
Mm.
I know the second season ended. I'm only on like episode 4 or 5, but it's really good, and they're very good at moving the story in a way that is not like, all right, now this episode's over. We'll see you next time. But it's also not like, did the episode end? Who knows? It's just, mm-hmm. Here's credits. So, stuff like that. Next up is Xia Wujing, the river ogre. Her name is Sandy, which I like. Can we cast like a big buff woman for this one?
Sand awakened to purity. Yeah, I think that would be really cool.
Because my other casting for Monkey is Michelle Yeoh, but I think she might have aged out, but no one does mad about everything like Michelle Yeoh does.
I would be down for a female Monkey King.
I mean, let's do it.
Could we do an all-female cast?
I'm not against it like out of hand, but it seems gimmicky.
Mm.
You know? Like, I don't want it to be like, this is the 1990s all-lady production of that, like, I want, like,
yeah,
you know.
And there are, if we go with like an all actually like Asian cast minus the one white dude, like that's also a very underrepresented thing that should not be.
Yeah,
I would also in some role we need Ming-Na Wen. Like we've got to have Ming-Na.
I mean, the guest casting we can do for these is going to be buck wild, because we don't have to. This is Blue Sky Imagineering, so yeah, mm-hmm. I think Ming-Na Wen would be great somewhere.
I mean, we're getting Jet Li and Jackie Chan in here at some point.
Oh, so. If you don't think if we make a show about this and you don't think I'm gonna call Jackie Chan's people so I can meet the greatest man who walks this earth, then like,
he is too such good a pure for this fallen world.
Sunshine human.
Yeah. He is the greatest. Also, I don't know if anyone knows this. This is literally his universe. We are all just rotating around him.
Did y'all see him fighting as Chun-Li? It's the coolest thing ever.
Wasn't that in, like,
I can't remember what movie it was in.
Yeah, that was in, that is not the tuxedo. One of those tuxedo era movies. Anyway, so there's a, so Sandy's whole deal is that he was a curtain lifting general. I don't know what that means. He was banished to the mortal realm from dropping and shattering the crystal goblet of the Queen Mother of the West. Quiet, but generally dependable and hardworking. It's the straight foil to the comic relief of Sun and Zhu, the monkey and Bigsy. Monkey, Pigsy, Sandy, and Yulong, because there's no other name for him.
Yeah. Except that he's, like, Yulong is a horse.
Well, yes, but it's the son of the Dragon King of the West Sea, has almost no speaking lines. I think we can change that around. I think we can add a lot more character to this than a horse.
Does he become that, like, strong silent type that just rarely speaks?
No, because that's kind of Shaw, right? That's kind of Sandy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
So I don't want to, like, double up. I mean, this could be like, we don't have a Donatello, right? We don't have, like, a nerdy.
Yeah,
like,
that's true. It'd be good to have the smart
person yet.
Yeah, the brain.
Because of the four. Although I guess this is like a 5-man band, or is this like a foursome that just rotates around our main dude?
I think it's sort of a 5-man band. If you're gonna do an ensemble show, you can't have it like it's real hard to do a Buffy nowadays. You know,
I was just about to say that it sounds like we're doing a Buffy where there is like a main dude, but all the people around the main dude are still super fleshed out, like they're characters in their own right.
Yeah, I think it's a lot harder to get away with that now. I can't tell you a lot of shows that have like a clear main character that is like named after one person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but like
that still gives you a lot of depth in the supporting characters.
Like the only show that I can think of that is like that, where it's not about her character, but it's Kristen Bell's show, is The Good Place. Like, mm-hmm. You know, it's Kristen Bell's show and Ted Danson is on it. And then there are four other people who you've never seen before in anything, probably, who are also main characters, but like, you know, it's about Eleanor. So, mm-hmm. Speaking of which, if anyone here has not watched The Good Place, fix yourself.
I've not seen it before.
First season's on Netflix. Second season's dropping August 28th. It's the best show on TV. It is so good. Don't look into it. Don't look into anything about it. Just watch the show. It is totally worth your time. Anyway.
Okay.
Alan, I think you would really like it. I think you'd really like Chidi. You seem like a lot like Chidi. But that's a compliment.
Who is Chidi?
Trust me. He's one of the characters on The Good Place.
Okay.
So what?
But
where are we? Where are we with our reboot, though?
Right, back to not other things. I just got off work. We're recording it a little earlier than normal. I have not like finished my beer yet. So, I think that's for characters. I think that's a thing we can talk about later. And you know, we don't really need to like get super deep into everybody as long as we kind of know where everyone stands.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question here, then, Jake.
Okay.
Based mostly on kind of their rough character of who they are in Journey to the West or however we want to adapt that, and assuming like this whole thing is like you go a place and you do a couple of trials, you get some scrolls and you go to another place and like that.
Right.
Presumably meeting each of these four is going to be like its own little like micro arc, like its own little couple episodes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So where do we meet all four of these? Like, where is Sun Wukong? Presumably, Piggy is probably just in an alley dumpster in New York, just drunk.
I mean, I think if the first, like, half of season one, maybe, like, three quarters, depending on, you know, which way we seem to go with it, it's just, like, everyone in New York, and it's him gathering disciples on accident while trying to do one or two things. You know, you give him like a in the movie, the first thing that happens is there is a koi in like a river that keeps growing, and it grows to like enormous size, and so he needs to like trap the koi in a thing to shrink it back down, you know, mm-hmm. to undo whatever curse was put on it. You just do something like that, and along the way, like, he bumps into, you know, Monkey, and the monkey is then compelled to go, and then he, I'm referencing the movie a lot because it's like the version that I saw and is like the freshest in my head. But like, Piggy started off as a bad guy who was like killing and eating people. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go there, but like, maybe like a gross, disgusting dude that he can go, hey, you need to get your life together. Like, bad shit's coming, and you know, you got to figure out which side you want to be on. that's how you get Piggy on your side, you know, or Pigsy, rather.
Well, if we're doing the urban fantasy, what if, like, Pigsy is some form of Wendigo?
That could work. I don't know how you would cure the Wendigo-ness, or maybe it's like a you stop it before he becomes full Wendigo,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's going through the transformation process and our character sweeps in and is like, "Hey, yo, whoo.
Let me do some magic to like clear up this, but like, hey, also to don't cleanse eat people." You.
But that's like, also it's a good thing towards enlightenment in that taking him closer to a path of peace, you know. Yeah. I think it could work.
Yeah, for sure. And then like the other two, Sandy is thrown out for breaking something, so that, you know, I don't want it to be like a literal one for one, but like, what is the, like, the modern, well, not modern, like the 1990s modern, you know, modern enough equivalent mm-hmm. of ruining something, breaking some rule or something.
Oh, it's sleeping with his boss's daughter, right?
Well, if Sandy's a girl, we'll be sleeping with her boss's daughter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That works.
And that is also one of the most 90s, like,
for sure,
fallen from grace plots.
Yeah. Something to that effect. But like, you pick up Sandy there, and then the last one is Yulong, who is the third son of, I just went to a race car magnate, and I don't know if that's a thing or not, but I want it to be.
In this crazy world, because listen, if we're really doing this, we got to lean into the weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know what was weirdly huge in the 90s? NASCAR. How do I know? I come from a NASCAR family.
Oh, buddy. So listen, they just turned left. It's not anything.
There's a little more to it than that.
They just turn left.
No, there's also road tracks where there's all sorts of turns going here and there. Those are the fun ones to watch. But I don't understand the appeal of watching NASCAR. But at the same time, I do understand the appeal of oiled up men throwing each other around in their underwear. So, like, who am I to judge? Right? Like, it's the same. It's exactly the same. You can boil anything down to the dumbest parts if you try. True. Right? Like, so,
oh god,
I mean, you're not wrong.
So this race car magnate's third son is like not good at racing, and so he's just like, I'm the black sheep of the family, so I should leave, and like that's my out, is to go with you on this journey.
Oh man, that gets us into some like speed racer X storylines we can
speed
get.
Racer,
yeah, exactly. Like that's like the weird shit we can get into. The other thing is like in later, like when we get to different cities, I want to, like, wherever we are, I want to find like, what is the thing about that city?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the weird urban legend about Mobile, Alabama, Alan?
Oh boy.
Oh man. When they go to El Paso, it's chupacabras.
Like, yeah, it's, you know, it's like, it's chupacabras, but like, not, they're just eating goats. It's like, it's chupacabra, but they're doing a thing.
It's wrestling chupacabras.
Well, I mean, if we're doing Mexico City for that, then I think we could just do straight Lucha Libre. But here's the thing. I am down for chupacabras in those masks.
Well, in Mobile, we're the birthplace of Mardi Gras, so you could definitely do something with, like, French vampires, maybe.
Okay. Or something to do with the, like, if we're going, like,
masquerade.
It's the birthplace of Mardi Gras, which has been all but usurped by New Orleans. Like, mm-hmm. nobody thinks of Mobile when they think of Mardi Gras, right? Like, that's,
unfortunately, and they'd be wrong.
Well, here's the thing, Alan.
That was news to me.
Yeah, see? The only reason I know is because I've been friends with you for a while.
True.
So,
our Mardi Gras, in my opinion, is better, safer, cleaner.
Well, see, you just said...
You said a bunch of things that make it sound like
make it
New Orleans
not,
got
not
the game.
Not as fun, you know? So,
oh, no, but, it is still a shit ton of fun. You just don't have to worry about getting stabbed in the guts.
Well, then, see, that's kind of a boring time. I don't want to throw stones here. What I'm trying to say is that, like, maybe there's, like, something to do with that, right? Like, there was this big thing here that has been taken somewhere else, and the thing here is still going, but it's not in the public conscience, you know?
Ooh, you could do something with, like, the spirit of Joe Kane.
I don't know who that is, but sure.
Joe Kane is the literal first person to do Mardi Gras. Basically, he got super drunk and threw cabbages at people.
As you do.
That sounds great.
Also, that might be the most Mobile thing I've ever heard you say.
The Merry Widows of Joe Kane are usually what lead off Mardi Gras. And it's just women dressed all in black and black veils who get really, really drunk and dance through the streets. It's pretty cool.
Sounds like a fun time. But
like I said, we do it better.
Like, that's the... Again, I don't know if better is it's a subjective thing, because you don't know anything else but the one that you've been to.
Oh, no, I've been to New Orleans. I don't want to go back.
Well, here's the thing, Alan. I'm from Ringe, New Hampshire. And if you talk to me about anyone's maple syrup, I'm going to tell you New Hampshire's is the best. Is that a fact? Yes. Have I done the due diligence? Yes. Is it maybe skewed by the fact that New Hampshire maple syrup is my favorite? Absolutely 100%, right?
Because I got to admit, I'm a Vermont boy. I'm sorry.
See, that is watered down trash juice, and I don't know why you think it's better.
It's what I was raised on, my dude.
Well,
I mean,
we
literally drop a moon pie over our city for New Year. But anyway, Journey to the West.
That is dumb.
It's kind of adorable.
That is. Anyway, the moon pies.
We are just chasing every rabbit today.
I think the problem is we don't have a super clear exit strategy for this, and I don't think we've hit what we normally like. We haven't hit on what we normally hit on by this point, so we're just kind of throwing shit at the wall. And I think in about 15 minutes, we're just going to call it no matter where we are.
Well, the thing is, I think we've hit the primary premise. I like the idea of this group going around the country, experiencing these supernatural things, trying to right wrongs where they can, sometimes either not being able to or the situation isn't what they thought, you know, whatever. But all of this is leading towards their enlightenment as they go west. Even though we will probably never say the words enlightenment, we will never, you know, refer to like nirvana, but like they become better through these experiences.
Yeah.
And the other thing I'm thinking is that I know this is where we started with the scroll being like, hey, go here. And then, you know, you get another one, you go here. That also seems a little
video gamey,
a little cheap, like a little plot device-y. So like maybe it's a thing where it's like you have to get to San Francisco, but you are not allowed to go to San Francisco. Like you have to, once you end up there, you've done it. But you are not allowed to just go straight there. Like you have to go where you know, the feeling takes you, and that's kind of how they move about. Because then you don't need a thing, you know.
Jake, it's literally it's a clock. We're doing the whole 90s, so it's 10 years. You have to be in San Francisco on the turn of the millennium. You cannot be there before.
All right. The only problem is if you're doing 10-episode seasons. That's not a full year.
I mean,
you know,
but there's a lot of travel time in there. Like it's the 90s. Yeah. They're on Greyhounds a whole lot. It's
right.
And that's boring. And except for the one episode where the Greyhound gets hit by something.
The episode about the Greyhound that goes to hell or whatever. Yeah. That's, you know, Casey Jones is now instead of a train conductor, he's a Greyhound bus driver and it's a ghost train. It's a ghost Greyhound.
Plus, we don't show every couple episodes. We're like, it's now this day.
Right. And also another thing I was just thinking is like we obviously we're not doing it now because this is a fucking podcast that we are like I'm not even wearing entire pants right now. Like so obviously I don't have a list of all the things that they actually do in Journey to the West. But we would have that whole thing in front of us when we are breaking these stories all right, how do we turn twin spider seductresses into an American thing in Chicago? Go like. That's, you know,
I just had a vivid flash to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yep.
Yes.
And the sirens in the lake.
That is like the color palette that I am dreaming this in. Is that like overblown golds and like not necessarily sepia. Like I would want it to be a little more poppy than that. But that like absolutely that is one of the things on my vision board for this.
All right. Well, I mean, we kind of did the thing then as much as we might be able to do that without. Like consulting some people with PhDs in Chinese epics.
Right. Yeah. People who know a thing and who know any more than we do.
So what else do we need to name? We need to name it, right? Or is it still just Journey to the West?
I think that's, I mean, it's a good title, right? It's 500 years old, and we haven't figured out a need to update it yet. So I don't know. I don't know what else we could do.
Maybe just Journey to the West, right? It's fine.
Yeah.
Or even just Journey West.
Journey West is good.
Journey West is good. That gives it a little bit of distinction.
Yeah. Journey. And then, you know, there's also that, like, I don't want to say parallel, but that, like, sort of slant rhyme with the Go West, Young Man. Mm-hmm. Like, that kind of feeling. Yeah. I like Journey West.
All right. Journey West it is. I think that might be it then.
I think so. I feel like we didn't nail it like we had the last couple.
But I think it was good discussion.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that they're not all going to be Cinderellian, you know? They're not all going to be Frankenstein Place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the Frankenstein Place. God,
I haven't stopped thinking about that since. Anyway, yeah, that's it. That's we did it. Hey, we have to pick something next time. Actually,
no.
We don't.
Nope, we don't.
We have a guest. My little brother's going to be in town last month, and we recorded it already. So
thanks for keeping kayfabe, exposing the business.
Hey,
here.
That one turned out really good, though.
That one did. It had a rocky. It had a classic hard reboot, rocky start.
Yeah,
but that turned into, I think, something pretty good.
It got there in the end. Yeah. And then hey, we also don't have to choose something for the one after that, though. I think we talked about that next month.
Yep.
So
I think so. And if we didn't, oops.
We'll deal with it in October.
I believe in us-ish.
That's future past us's problem.
So, yeah, I guess we're just done?
I think so.
Well,
hey, thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening.
I've been Matt.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Alan. And you've been rebooted.
No.
Hey, everybody. You can follow us at RebootCast on Twitter, or you can email us at hardreboot@fifthdraw.com. You can follow Alan at Alan_Sells. You can follow Jake at JJ_Mason, or you can follow me at Matt Hoadley. Thanks for listening. Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.